Mark chapter 6, Mark chapter 6. Thank you, Brother Brandon. What a great song. I'm pretty sure Miss Jessica's getting amazing on that piano also. Doing a good job. And good team. Good team. Mark chapter 6. I really appreciate Pastor allowing me to preach while he's healing up, and I do pray for a slow healing. Complete healing. I want it to be complete. So, no, we are praying for a healing, but I'm just glad he's obeying the doctor's orders to stay off of it, and we do hope that he gets healed up right and don't have any more problems about with that leg, and so I know that would be a blessing to him. Mark chapter 6, we have a story here that really follows an amazing an event in our Bible where we know where there's 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and we know those were some good old catfish. No, they wasn't. We know that. Here we have a great story in this chapter 6 where the Lord shows a great miracle. He took and he fed the multitude, and you can read the feeding of the 5,000 there. It starts in verse 32. But Jesus used 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed them. I don't know about you. You try that at the house, and you'll be lucky to be able to provide for 5 people of your family. But when God's hand touches things and people, He blesses it, He breaks it, and He multiplies it. And the disciples were able to see this great miracle. But now we have another story where in verse 45, the crowd kind of pushed Jesus, and they were throning Him, so to speak, and pushing Him. And so He pulled away from them and told the disciples, verse 45, He says, and straightway He constrained them. Basically, he demanded them. He gave them a command. He said, go to the other side before Bethsaida while He sent away the people. And when He had sent them away, He departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come... Now, notice the timing of this. We'll look at it here a little bit. But He says, and when evening was come, it says, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and He alone on the land. So let's get the picture. Here's the Sea of Galilee. They're headed for Bethsaida. And so what's happening is that they're going across the lake. And they get, the Bible says, in the midst. And I'm not that smart of a guy, but I know that's somewhere in the middle. And so as you can think about, and if you study this, the widest part of the Sea of Galilee is about 8 miles long. And it gives us over in John chapter 6, you can read the story. It tells us how many furlongs it was, 20 to 30 furlongs, which would have been about 4 miles, which was, they were halfway across. If it was at the widest point, they were halfway across this the water, and we're going to get the time here in a little bit because they were out there almost between 6 and 8 hours rowing for 4 miles. And so they were tired, they were wore out, and we'll see that here in our story. But notice what happens here. He says in verse 48, he says, and he saw them. I want you to notice that statement. He saw them. Now, let me remind you that this story is taking place around 3 o'clock in the morning at this time. And so as Jesus is up and He's praying alone, and night has set, and there becomes a wind coming into the area of Galilee, and it begins to blow the boat. Matter of fact, if you read the story, so much that the boat began to sink and they begin to cry out unto the Lord, if you read in Matthew. And so in Matthew chapter 14, and so whenever you look at this story and you see the disciples are out there, they're in the middle of the lake, the winds are boisterous, but notice what happens. And when He saw them, I love that. And He saw them, not when He saw them. And He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. Now let me ask you this tonight. You ever felt like the wind was contrary to you? You ever felt like what should take you only maybe an hour is taking you days? You ever thought about maybe sometimes even the healing process of you've been hurt and the healing process should maybe not take as many years as it has? And maybe you've been hurt by somebody. Maybe just the winds of this world and the storms of this life, maybe they've just come and they've compassed you about, and it feels like it's contrary. And I'll remind you this several times in this message. He sees you. God knows what you're going through. God doesn't, when you get into a situation in your life, when you don't understand what's going on, He's not hurrying around trying to get some angels together to get a committee together and see what He should do about your situation. Because in eternity past, he had already determined that situation and had already seen the outcome of it. And we know through the Bible that he works all things to the good of them and those are called according to his purpose. And so when we go through trials sometimes, we think, well, God, where are you at? I tell you this, he may not be in the boat with you, so to speak, but he sees you. He sees where you're at. And that's what we'll preach on tonight. Don't worry, he sees you. Don't worry, he sees you. Now look at our story again. The Bible says they were toiling in rowing. It's telling us what they were doing. The wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch, that fourth watch was somewhere around 3 a.m. in the morning. I don't know about you, but I don't go fishing at 3 a.m. in the morning too often. You know why? Because I'm sleepy by that time. And I don't know about you, but I want to be home in the bed at 3 a.m. in the morning. So if you can imagine that this time frame also gives a little weariness to these disciples. Because remember, they've been up all day. They've seen God work, do miracles, and feed the 5,000. And now we're still into this same day. Now read on down if you will. It says, of the night cometh unto them, walking on the sea. I noticed, I was reading through this story the other day, and this the first time I've really just paid attention to this, and it says, and would have passed them by. Isn't that amazing that he was just going to keep walking? If they don't notice me, I'm keep walking. By the way, if we don't notice that we need Jesus in our storm, sometimes he'll just keep walking and let you stay in that storm for a little while longer. The reason sometimes Michael Wiggins stays in a storm longer than he should and stays in that turbulent place in my life is because I don't go, Lord, help me. He'd already given us an illustration when Peter, when you read the other story in Matthew chapter 14, as Peter jumps out of the boat and he begins to sink. Guess what he did? He prayed a very elegant prayer. Lord, I mean basically, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. As he began to sink, he cried out to the Lord and the Lord helped him out immediately. Isn't that what we all, I love that. And maybe all of y'all noticed this, but it says, and would have passed them by. Jesus just walking out. Can you? I love this picture in my head because I'm a picture guy. If they made a big boy picture Bible, I'd buy it. If they made a pop-up Bible, I'd love it. I love pictures in my head. And as they're sitting in this boat, and you read the other accounts in Matthew chapter 14 and John chapter 6, and we think that those are interrelated. And so as you read those stories, it kind of gives you what they're going through. It says, and they cried out, and one that they were terrified, and one and they didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden at 3 a.m. in the morning, around that time, here comes somebody walking on the water. Now, first of all, think about this story. He's walking on the water. This is not a natural human being. This is not somebody that got out of the boat and said, hey, I'm just going to the shore. Right? They were stuck in their situation and there was no way out. And when Jesus passed by, now notice what they said. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit. But guess what they did? We don't care. This is something supernatural. And they cried out. And now notice what happens. I love verse 50 because it says in verse 49, but when they saw him. Now verse 50, I want you to notice this. It says, for they all saw him and were troubled. Now everybody's looking out of this boat. All the disciples now have their attention turned to this one man. By the way, that is what we're supposed to do as a family. If we're going through those trials and tribulations as a family, let's get our whole family to turn our eyes upon Jesus and look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And look at what happens here. I love this. It says, and we're troubled. And immediately He talked with them. Uh-oh. And that's why he saith unto them, he said, boo. No, I'm sorry, that's not in the scripture. That would have been me if I'd been there. But notice what Jesus did because he's a loving, caring God. He said, be of good cheer. He said, it is I. Be not afraid. By the way, when he said, it is I, they understood I. They understood the moment that he spoke who that was. Because Jesus says that his sheep know his voice. The disciples heard the voice of Jesus, whom they had been with that very day. They heard that voice say, "Hey, take up all the fish and from the boy, take the fish and the loaves and gather it up." They heard that and they said, "He blessed it and he broke it," and they began to pass it out, and they had baskets left over. They heard that. They said, "That's Jesus." He said, "Be a good cheer." He said, "It is I. Be not afraid." Isn't that something? But notice on down, he says, "And he went up unto them." Now notice what happens to the captain. He gets into the ship. By the way, God doesn't calm your storms outwardly. Jesus calms your storms inwardly. Every time. By the way, Jesus works through His Spirit and through His Word in today's society. That still small voice is the voice of the Holy Spirit and the voice of the Word of God, which the Holy Spirit really interprets and enlightens in our life. And as we go through these storms, we're waiting for some outward manifestation of a great and mighty God. But sometimes it's just that inward. He gets into your boat and He calms it. Sometimes He calms you, doesn't He? Sometimes He doesn't calm the storm. I was over at the hospital the other day with Miss Watson, and Brother Traymar was with me, and I usually don't say much just because usually things I say are so stupid I just figured out just keep my mouth shut. But Brother Traymar can tell you, before I walked out of the room, the Lord was just telling me to say something, and it wasn't something majestic, but I just told her, I said, "I don't understand why you're going through this. I don't. But I do know this, is that you're touching lives sitting right here in this bed." Because she'd been telling us, hadn't she, Brother Traymar? She'd witnessed to this lady. She's got like 3 people lined up to come to church the next time she's at church already. She's got people giving her cell phone numbers and all these things that she's witnessing. I said, "Miss Watson, Miss Christine, I don't know what you're going through, but I do know this, is that God's using you right where you're at." That's amazing. And I don't wish cancer, I don't wish sickness on anybody, but I'm telling you, somewhere in the midst of what you're going through, God is going to get in your boat and He's going to show you exactly what He wants you to do. Now notice the last part of verse 52. I never did read the rest, so I got excited. Verse 51. "And when He went up unto them, into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed." That's, by the way, sore amazed. Amazed is good. You're like, "Wow." But sore amazed is to leave you speechless at what you just saw. Now notice what happened. "In themselves beyond measured, and they wondered." Now notice verse 52. Here's kind of the sad part of this story. "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." Isn't that sad? We're talking about the same day, basically. We're talking about in the same 24-hour period that Christ had done a great miracle before their eyes, and now they've already forgotten it. When you get into a storm, you see, sometimes we forget what He just did. Because sometimes the storms are like curtains, aren't they? Sometimes when the wind and all the things are going on in our life, it drops a veil between us and God and between us and what God has already done and what we know that He can do. And we forget what He just done and we say, pointing fingers at me. I'm the same way. "God, help me. Where are you at?" You know what's sad is that we'll say this statement. "I just don't know if the Lord's going to see me through this one." Be careful what you say. He'll see you through it. Even if you die, that's graduation. Hallelujah. Me to die is gain. And as you think about what they were going through and the storm that they were facing, is that the verse that really gets my attention is that in verse 48 it says, "And He saw them." I want to remind you tonight, this is just hopefully an encouraging message, is that He sees you. He sees you no matter where you're at. Maybe you're having a great day. I had a pretty good day today. It was a busy day, but I had a great day today. Nothing fell down, nothing broke yet. But you know what? We've had some rough days. I was talking to my cousin today, who pastors our church that we're from, and his son has cancer, and his wife has cancer. His wife has cancer of the brain. Son, which is 22 years old, has different types of cancer. They just keep popping up on him. Right now, it's on the lung. Last time, it was on his back. I talked to him today, and man, it was just like timely for this message. And he said, "Would you please pray for us?" He says, "I don't know how much more I can take." His wife's having seizures now, just about every week. It just seems like it's just one thing after another is what he's saying. And I want to tell you that we all, by the way, just because you're a pastor, God doesn't exempt you from trials and things like that. Just because you're a Christian, God does not exempt you from the trials and the tribulations of this world. Just because you're right with God doesn't exempt you from all the things that God wants to take you through. Because the Bible says that when you're tried as fire, that you'll come forth as gold. That as sometimes God has to put us through the furnace in order to refine us. And listen, I'm not going to stand up here tonight and say that, why are you going through this? Well, here's why. I don't know. Because I know there's some stories in the Bible where there was a bunch of goober heads that tried to figure out what was going on. Man blind from birth, they said, well, who sinned? Was it his mother or his father? You know? Whose fault is it? That's where we always go with those stories, isn't it? You know, somebody was talking about this the other day. I forgot who it was. Is that they were blaming, They were blaming the parents for the kids being handicapped. I was just having this conversation. I said, well, I have a handicapped child. Was it me or my wife? I don't know. All I know is that I can't do nothing about it other than turn it over to him. Me and my wife can get in a knockdown drag out trying to figure out who sinned big enough so Bailey turned out a little different. Or we can go, you know what? Thank you, Lord, for Bailey being a little different because it makes me a little better person. Amen. Makes me a little more thankful. And sometimes we get in our thoughts that, well, we got a child that's maybe not like everybody else. By the way, I love Bailey. I don't have to worry about her getting married. I don't have to worry about a wedding. I don't know. She's heartbroken over Caleb. And Abby, she tells me all the time. She says, Abby, she's just upset about that. But you know what? And I tell people this. Don't feel sorry for me because I have Bailey. Don't ever feel sorry for me because we have Bailey. Is it more work? We have Brody too. Shelby was such an easy child. We always say, and I say this jokingly, but God tricked us with Shelby. Shelby practically raised herself. That child could play all day long on the back porch. She didn't need you. She could cook by the time she was old enough to stand at the stove. Wash dishes, wash. I mean, we just go, sit down and we go, wow, this is easy. Let's have another one. Yeah. Yeah. We were like, man, we could probably have at least 10 of these. Then along came Brody. Along came the boy. Then you go, well, you know, maybe we ought to cut it off right here. No, my children are great. All of them are. They're all unique in their own way, aren't they? And sometimes we can think, well, God gives, why did God make me this way? Why did God put me in a wheelchair? Why did God give me a learning disability? Why did God do this? You know what? Quit trying to just figure everything out and just serve the Lord. Because you know what I figured out? We all have a handicap. Somewhere, somehow, we do. You say, I don't have a handicap. Well, let's all get up here and play the piano. Right? Not everybody can play the piano. You get me out there and play golf. I have a handicap. They always ask me when I go to play golf somewhere, they're like, well, what's your handicap? I said, well, my right hand, my left hand, and my feet, my body, everything. But I can drive a cart better than anybody out here. Amen. Brother Chad's seen me on that golf cart out there. I'm pretty good with them. But we all have something. We're trying to figure out, well, I can't do anything because... And by the way, I'm preaching to me too. I can't do anything because I'm not this. I can't do this because I'm this. But you know what? God made it where you could do something. Sometimes we think because our trials and our tribulations are so fierce in our life that nobody knows what you're going through. By the way, such as common to man. Scripture says that Jesus was tempted at all points as we are. And he was tempted, but he also said by himself, he went through that, but also about others, he says, is that such is common to man. We're going to go through things, everybody's going to go through something. And I want to encourage you tonight that Jesus saw them. Number one, let me give you these. I have to give you points or else I would not preach. Number one, he saw their toiling. He saw their toiling. Can I just say, and I read commentary on this because I'm not good at math, but I know when they left it was evening time, but when he found them, it was almost 3 o'clock in the morning. There's about a 6 to 8 hour window there since he sent them away, if you read all the stories, is that probably in that time frame. Let's just say that it was 4 hours. They were out there and they got 4 miles across the lake of Galilee. And when they got across that lake, so just say if they were toiling 4 to 8 hours. That's a long time toiling. By the way, I want you to read the scripture because the verse says in verse 48, it says the wind was contrary unto them. That meant they couldn't stop rowing. If they did, they'd be right back where they started from. I'm telling you, me and Pastor's been out on that lake. Caleb's been with us. We've been out in Texoma before. It looked like the sea. The Gulf out there, and you do all you can just to make it back to the shore. And I can't imagine you got oars and you're trying to row this boat that is really probably not aerodynamic. And the wind was contrary to them, so they were fighting this and they were fighting this. Now I want you to notice, Jesus could have very well stepped out for the first moment and said, matter of fact, Jesus didn't even have to go down on the water. He said, all right, that's enough. But Jesus let it go on for a while. You know why? Jesus lets us go through things. So we'll do this. Lord, I can't do it. You know what Jesus is waiting on a lot of people in this auditorium to do tonight? I give up. Amen, come on. Well, we've been to every doctor. Nobody can give us answers. Well, have you asked Jesus? He can give you an answer. I'm not against doctors. I'm just saying sometimes we expend all of our resources. Remember, there was a woman in the Bible who had a blood issue for 12 years. The Bible said when she spent all, she said, well, I guess the last thing I'll do, I heard this man Jesus. I'll just touch the hem of his garment. She did. And Jesus turned around and said, my virtue left out of me. Who touched me? And the woman said, me. And he reached down and he touched her. What had been, she had been working on for 12 years in her own strength and using her own money. In 1 second, Christ healed her and took care of her. By the way, I'm not against counselors. I'm not against medicine. I'm just saying sometimes we try to get out of things and God's trying to keep us in there a while. I have no patience. I can't stand sitting there watching popcorn pop. Because none of us really know how long to put it in there. Somebody say amen. You don't know. You say, well, I put it in there for 4 minutes, 30 seconds. But you know that you're thinking, if I leave it in there, say, I wonder if I could get all those kernels popped. Without burning it. So I sit there and me and Brody, it's funny, me and Brody stand there and we'll hear. Okay, hurry, get it. Because you're trying to get it before it burns. But you want to get that last, I mean, 2 kernels is a blessing. If you can get those 2 kernels to go, hello. Man, what a blessing. But I'm very impatient a lot of times. You ever been that way, you're watching that popcorn pop and you hear pop, 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 pop. Like, I got it. Then right before you grab the handle, you hear, oh, it's too soon. You open the bag of popcorn, it's only half popped. Come on, somebody give me a witness right here. This is biblical preaching. You open up a bag of popcorn, and it's only half popped, and you're eating it, and you get down to the bottom. You know what I'm saying. You get a handful of kernels. You're like, man, I wasted popcorn. Sometimes we're that way. Sometimes we'll warm up stuff on the stove and we're hungry, you know, trying to get in a hurry, get to church, whatever. And you put it on your plate and you go in there and you go take a bite and you realize that the bottom of it's still ice cold. Sometimes we do that with the Lord whenever He's trying to take us into the right spot of our life. Sometimes it has to get a little hot in order for us to look up. But He saw their toiling. The word toiling means pain, torment, you can look it up. It means to be tossed or vexed. They were working to combat the wind. Number two, He saw the tempest. God saw the storm that was going on. Not only did He see them, not only did He see what they were going through, not only did He see their pain and the toil that they were going through, but He saw the things that surrounded them. By the way, Pastor, I think Pastor said this, is that somebody used this illustration. We see, when we're on the train, we see maybe just a little bit ahead and just a little bit behind us, but mainly we see where we're at. Whereas God sees the whole entire track. God sees where we've been and God sees where we're going. By the way, He saw there the tempest. He saw the wind. He saw the wind, the waves beating up against the boat. He saw the water that was hopping over. I used to have a little John boat back in the day. And there was a few times I was fishing. And it was an older boat. And I didn't realize it had a crack in it. Now, back in those days, the plug was in the back and you crank the motor up and you get it going, you pull the plug out and it sucks the water out. You're good to go. I knew it had a little leak in there, but when I got going, I'd get going good. That was one of them 25-horse Johnsons. Get it going and I'd pull the plug out and the water suck out and I'd keep going. But one day my motor wouldn't crank. I pulled on that thing and water's just coming in. Not about you, but you get frantic when that happens. Because there's one thing a fisherman doesn't want to do. I love to swim. I love to fish, but I don't want to do them both at the same time. And can you imagine these full-time fishermen? They understood what was happening when that water comes in the boat. The boat can only take so much. Somebody said, it's good for the boat to be in the water, but it's bad for the water to be in the boat. He saw the tempest. Number three, he saw their tears. You can look at it, Matthew chapter 14, verse 26. It says, they cried out. It says it here also in some wording, it says that they cried out. But if you look over Matthew, it says that they cried out. Matter of fact, verse 50 in this one says, they were troubled. By the way, he saw that they were scared. He saw their terror. He saw that they were in need, and he acted according to that. But the last thing tonight I want you to see is that he saw them. That's what the scripture says in verse 48. And he saw them. By the way, I said it earlier on accident, but in verse 48 it doesn't say, and when he saw them. Notice that word is not in the scripture. It says, and he saw them. You know what? When you say, and when he saw them, that means you were looking somewhere else. Now I'm looking at you. And when I saw you. You ever said that to somebody? You said, you know, I was in Walmart one day and when I saw them. That means when you walked in there, you didn't see them originally, but you saw them later on. Well, that's not what the scripture says. Everybody take the scripture for what it says? I do. And it says, and he saw them. In other words, Jesus never took his eyes off of them. He knew exactly what they were going through. He saw them. I want to remind you, if they were 4 miles out, let's just say, he's back on shore, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning. He didn't see with physical eyes. He saw with supernatural eyes. Let me say this, and I'm going to be done. Sometimes you can feel that the veil of this world has pulled in around you, and that nobody can see where you're at. But I want to tell you what Jesus can see, because he sees through the supernatural eyes. Listen here now. I don't know what you're going through. I know what I'm going through. You know, and I'm not going through anything bad. I'm just saying I know what I go through. But I can tell you this, is that it's not for me to understand what you're going through. Now, if you come to me and say, Brother Wiggins, I'm going through this. Would you pray for me? I'm gonna delight in praying for you. Not in what you're going through, but I'm glad I can pray for you. And I'd be glad to pray for you. But I really don't know what you're going through. Everybody here has something you go through from time to time. Don't you? Amen. Whether it's financial, physical, I think of the Watsons. I think of Miss Modine, and I think of Miss Pat Shepherd having some health issues, and I think of all these people in our church that are having health issues. There's some that's lost loved ones, and I don't understand your situation, but I do know one who does, and that he sees through the darkness that nobody else can see through. They were wrestling, he was watching. They were worried, he was watching. They were weary, he was watching. Where are you at tonight? I don't know what you're going through, but I want to remind you, he sees you. We sing this song that I don't like. It's Santa Claus sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been good, bad, or good, for be good. I don't even know the song. If we would put Jesus' name in there, it would make more sense. Because Jesus sees you when you're sleeping, when you're awake, when you're happy, when you're sad, when you're in a storm and when you're on the top of the mountain. He sees you. So, maybe for some of us, we need to do this. Lord, I can't do it anymore. Lord, I'm done. Maybe you're in the middle of the trial. Maybe God's just waiting on you to say, because I love that scripture says, and he would have walked by them. But they cried out. Maybe they didn't quite understand, but they cried out. They knew that they had to have help. Tonight, why don't you just admit you need help? You say, Lord, I need your help. Now, God may direct you to a doctor. Amen? God may direct you to a great Christian counselor. God may direct you to whatever. But go to God. He'll work it out. Let's stand tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Musicians have come. We'll have a time of invitation. Hymn 153. After I pray, Father, I love you. Thank you for the night. God, thank you for being so good to us. And Lord, I don't know who this message was for, but I do know that it was for me. And God, I know that you do see us. God, even though sometimes it feels like you're not there, Lord, because of the storms of life compassing us about. God, I pray that you bless your people tonight. Lord, I pray that you would just help some people to understand, Lord, where they're at and what you're wanting to do in their life and through their life. God, I pray that you'd encourage your people tonight, that you're always there. You said you never leave us nor forsake us. Love you, Lord. I ask you to bless this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 153, if you'll sing, I Surrender All tonight. If you need to use the altar, here it is. Oh.